Thanks to the people who have started leaving me text messages with the new feature. But remember, it's a one-way medium, so please include your email address or any other way of getting back in touch with you. Or if you'd like to leave me voicemail, just go to the website at bookkeepermensch.com, scroll down a little bit on the main page, and leave me voicemail. Thanks, and enjoy the episode.
Paul Rosenblum is a bookkeeper, not an accountant or a CPA. Although the information in this podcast comes from professionals, it's meant to give you enough knowledge about these subjects to have a meaningful dialogue with your tax preparer about bookkeeping and taxes.
I'm recording this episode in February, right in the middle of tax season, so you might hear a little bit more stress in my voice. But don't worry, it's still me, and I'm living through it as I always do. And because it's so busy right now, situations come up that I want to talk about in this episode, so I will do just that. I'm Paul Rosenblum. The other day, I had a client who does their own bookkeeping give me the books to clean up some things and do year-end closing of the books for the accountant, and the payroll has always consisted of labor costs at the client's location. It's a service-based business. Payroll was originally set up as an expense, which is perfectly normal. However, in a case like this, the people on payroll could be considered a cost of labor kind of an expense. Cost of goods or cost of labor, in this case, are a kind of an expense that is directly related to a sale made. Office supplies are an expense of a company in any case, but if people are hired to specifically go out and perform services for clients on the road, then they could very well be considered cost of goods sold or cost of labor. The main change in the books is that the gross profit, revenue minus cost of goods sold, is lower because you're adding the payroll into the cost of goods. But the overall net profit, which is revenue minus cost of goods sold minus expenses, stays the same. My client wanted to change the payroll from a company expense to a cost of labor in the cost of goods section. I suggested to the client that the IRS is looking for consistency in the books. And if you change the cost of goods value by a large amount, from one year to another, it could be a flag and the chance for audit increases. The client had a friend who used to work for the IRS, and they wanted to ask him or her their opinion. They got back to me a couple of days ago and said that the friend said no one really knows what triggers an audit, and there's no problem at all moving the payroll from an expense to the cost of goods sold. The truth of the matter is that we do know what a flag for the IRS is. A flag doesn't guarantee an audit, it's just a flag. You probably need more than one flag, usually, to be on the audit list, unless it's something really big that was flagged by an IRS computer. Consistency is important. If the cost of goods sold goes dramatically up one year and the expenses go dramatically down, even if the net profit stays the same, then that alone could be a big enough flag for an IRS audit. This client only gives me the bank statements and credit card statements to be reconciled once a year in December, and then at the beginning of January adds the December statements. I don't actually do the bookkeeping, and I have never had access to the bank account to really check the bookkeeping to see if it's accurate. So if the client doesn't take my advice, I won't be too surprised because there might be a trust issue there anyway. As I have mentioned before, most of my clients give me access to their bank account, which helps me make sure that their books are as good and clean as they possibly can be. Sometimes with new clients, I don't get access to the bank accounts at the very beginning, but by the time tax season comes around, we have a good relationship and there is a trust, and I do get an ID and a password to get into the bank account. Business owners, and I mean this in a good way, are interesting people. Many of us small business owners like to be in control of things, and I'm 100% that way myself, if you haven't noticed. But if you can't trust your bookkeeper by giving them access to the credit card info and the bank info and logins to the accounts, who can you trust? My goal is to give clean books to the tax preparer every time, and if I can't see every deposit going into the bank and know specifically what it was, then I can't really hit my goal. This is why it's so important to hire a bookkeeper who you can get to know, feel comfortable with, and have a relationship with so that you can build trust with us bookkeepers. Another year-end situation that has recently come up is a company who is really struggling to make a profit. They have two partners working at the business and a few outside investors who don't. They have 6 or 7 cost of goods accounts in the books, and they are really trying to see specifically what is working and what isn't. So they're scrutinizing each and every cost of goods account to make sure that every single transaction is in the correct cost of goods. Very rarely do I see that happening, since the cost of goods section is reported on one line on the tax return. But they are very serious and really wanting to keep this company going. And although it's more work for me to reclassify each transaction that they are telling me that needs to be moved, I'm more than happy to because of what they're trying to do. Good for them. Another situation that I have to deal with very soon is two companies owned by the same people. And since it's a partnership, the due date to file taxes is March 15. This year, they will most likely be on extension. There are transfers between the two companies every other day. When both companies' bookkeeping is done each year, I have to check an account in both companies called due to/from the other company. They have to be the same in both companies since they're transfers between the two companies, both of which use the same bank. So aside from all the other things that have to be checked at year end, like bank and credit card reconciliations, in this case, 7 credit cards and 3 bank accounts in one company, and 1 credit card and 1 bank account in the other company, I also have to reconcile the transfer account. I have another situation where a husband and wife have 3 companies between the two of them, an IT company, a food truck, and a soon-to-be-opened restaurant. Money is withdrawn from the IT company and used to, quote, fund the construction for the restaurant. One should not do that as a transfer from one company to another. The accountant asked me to show it in the books as a draw from the IT company and a capital investment in the restaurant, both equity accounts, and not a due to/due from account. This way, it's not booked in the system as a loan, but is booked as equity. So I have to try and make sure that as I see withdrawals or transfers during the year, that I check with each part of the married couple and determine if a withdrawal really went to the other spouse's company or their personal bank account, which would be considered a draw. How I have it set up in the books is that I have a draw account for the IT company and a sub-account of that draw for funding the restaurant. Even though it's still a draw, I want to separate it so that people and the accountant and the owners can see in their books how much the funding was for and how much a regular draw was. I hate to say, many bookkeepers these days just don't think that way or have the knowledge. They don't check these things. They let the accountant figure it out later and make adjustment entries. Some clients are very hard to reach, and they don't return emails or phone calls, so I try the best I can, and if I can't get the information from the client, I let the accountant know, and maybe their personality will jar the client into getting back to them with the information that he or she needs to put together a good, accurate, clean tax return. I'm not perfect, although I wish I were, and there are sets of books that I do my best on, but the accountant and I still have to work together to clean things up. But as much as possible, I try and complete the books so that they are clean, accurate, and good-looking. I know I sound like I'm talking about a child, kind of, but the books that I create are kind of like that to me, but you know that if you have been following this podcast. It's now the middle of tax season when I'm recording this, and there are about 6 more weeks to go before the pressure calms down for me and a little longer for my Canadian bookkeeper colleague. But eventually, it'll slow down and our lives outside the office can continue to roll on. Please let me know if you like episodes like this and if they are a help to you as a business owner or a bookkeeper. After tax season, I plan to record more interviews and explore different directions for this podcast. Hoping that the rest of your late winter and early spring are less stressful than mine, and that you file taxes on time so that you can move on with your lives without the possibility of getting letters from the IRS demanding payment. Leave me a voicemail at the website or an email and let me know the subject matter that you'd like to hear for future episodes. Would you like more interviews? Are you tired of just my voice? I can take it. Looking forward to hearing from all of you. Again, leave me email or go to the website and leave me voicemail. I'll be in your AirPods or speakers again soon. I'm Paul Rosenblum.